Every New Year's, we like to look at Psalm 90. And so, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking again at Psalm 90. We sang, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. One of several hymns that are based on Psalm 90. If you do a smartphone and you have the ability to ask Siri or Alexa, and I got to be careful, I don't want to turn mine on here, but you can ask them to play Psalm 90 radio, and you will get a series of songs that are based on Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is a great, great little psalm to help us reset ourselves for the new year. It's the psalm that teaches us to number our days. And let's just take a look at Psalm 90. If you see Psalm 90, verse 1, we're going to read a few verses. If you notice that in the top of the psalm, you'll see that there is a label called Book 4. The Psalms are split up into five books. Book 1, Book 2, Book 3, Book 4. Book 1 is where we're introduced to the Lord. And the title of the Lord comes up, Jehovah, in the book over and over again. Book 2, in the Psalms, the title Elohim, or God, comes up over and over again. Each one of these books have different themes. In Book 4, the themes center around the everlastingness of God and the dwelling place of God and the templeness of man. The last psalm in this book is Psalm 106. If you can just turn to that for a second. It's at 106. You notice that there's a verse 48 in Psalm 106. That verse 48 seems like it doesn't apply to Psalm 106, and you'd be right. At the end of each book, there is a summary statement about what all the psalms in that section of Psalms is all about. Psalm 48, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord. It is a summary statement of book one, book four of the Psalms, the everlastingness of God. Now, we've done this since, I think, 2016. So we've done a lot of studies in Psalm 90. And today, we're going to take one of the themes of Psalm 90 and trace it through some of the other Psalms in book four of the psalm. And the theme today will be on this dramatic statement, the dwelling place. Let's read Psalm 90, a few of these verses here. Verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, before the earth was brought forth, and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass in the morning, though in the morning it springs up new. By evening it is dry and withered. Verse 10. The length of our days is 70 years or 80. And if we have strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. For they quickly pass away and we fly away. Verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Just want to pause there. It's written by Moses. So Moses doesn't know about the eternal state and the book of the Revelation and the cross work of Christ and all this kind of stuff. Notice Moses is enjoying the revelation that he had as the Lord dramatically delivered the people through the Egypt and into the wilderness. And he's calling these people to understand that God has always been our dwelling place. God has always been our land. It's never been Egypt. And it's not going to be the promised land. And it's not going to be this wilderness. God is our dwelling place. Somehow Moses figured that great truth out. And Moses will leave us this counsel. It's one of the clearest instructions in the psalm. You need to number the days. Do an accounting of the days. And it is helpful and wise for each one of us to sit down and take a pen and a calculator and a pencil and lay out and think about how many days we have left. You will be impressed by the fact that there are so few left. And Moses says, do that, please. And number them, because then you will rightly understand how to live your life down here. How to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And you say to me, Tom, that will just discourage me. Verse 14. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for the many days you have afflicted us and the many years you have troubled us. Now look, life is, Moses is saying there's affliction and there's trouble. And Moses is somehow understanding that God is able not to spare us from those things, but to bring gladness to our hearts and gladness to our souls. That is a deep spiritual thing that you all say amen to right now, but do we really enter into it and enjoy it? See, Moses enjoyed it and Moses grabbed it. And in this book of the Psalms, Psalms 90 through Psalms 106, if you want to challenge your heart with the ancient teachings of Moses and Asaph and Aaron, and then David at the end, you're going to find that the Lord is going to be able to challenge your heart on issues of anxiety, on issues of joy, on issues of song. He's going to warn you about the hardening of your heart. There is precious truths in here that can set our course aright for this year and set our course aright. And we need to crave it and need it and honor it and dwell in it, dwelling in this, and that the Lord give us these blessings of making us glad. Make your deeds, verse 16, to be shown to your servant, your splendor to the children. May the favor of the Lord rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands. Yea, establish the work of our hands. We've talked about this in the past, of how the fragileness of mankind as grass that has this newness of life in the morning and then in the evening it goes away. Our life is but a vapor, it is but short. And yet here in the end of this psalm, we have this tremendous promise that God can take your life, and we'll see in the next psalm with a buckler, a personal shield for you. He's able to establish it and to make it last like he does, for he is from everlasting, beyond the mountains. And beyond the worlds and the earth, he is God dwell. Now, Psalm 91 is the next psalm, and this is the psalm that I want us to focus a little bit on today. As we think about, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place. What does it mean to dwell? This is going to come up several times in the early part of Book 4 of the Psalms. And then later, it's the singing and the joy and the obedience and the submission and the yielding of the soul that learns to dwell. But in the early part of the book 4 of the Psalms, he emphasizes the dwelling. Look at some of these precious verses in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Remember I said in book 1 of the Psalms, it's the emphasis of Lord Jehovah as the name. And in book 2, it's the emphasis is on Elohim, God. And you'll see that there are psalms that are repeated almost word for word in both of those books, but the word God is used in one instead of the word Lord in the other, so that the Spirit of God is making very clear, pay attention to my names, the names that I use. It's the name of the Most High that is in book four, the Most High, the everlasting one who is the Most High. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Now we've been singing songs this morning about, O God, our help in ages past, and a mighty fortress is our God. And there are portions of these sections that talk to us about abiding in a fortress and life is the grass and all that kind of stuff. But there is another image that we're going to explore today, and that is human life is seen as the bird's journey, as the fowl that flies. And for a lot of times, that's the way it can feel like for us out here, that we're out in the open, doing our tasks, making life what it needs to be, exposed like the bird that could be prey to the fowler. You will save me, verse 3, you will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings he will find refuge. So we see the bird that flies and the need for the bird to stay under the wings of the one that provides refuge. That's a hard thing for us human beings to learn how to do. And the great psalmist here, I think it's Moses in this case as well, is trying to explain this concept to those who are trying to sing this song. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield. And those of you with your King James versions, and buckler. But that word buckler can also be translated rampart. We're going to use both word translations because they're amazing. All right, a shield, a rampart, and a buckler. He will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Parents, if you have a son who's got anxiety issues or a daughter that is worried about a lot of things, get them into this psalm and get them to memorize this psalm as early as you can in life. It's something Amy and Jim Funk taught our family here. Get them into this psalm because they'll become completely comfortable with the safety of Christ and the safety of God when they start to understand these concepts. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near to you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling. Oh, now Moses starts to share something with mankind. It's not automatic. It's not. You are to make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge. Then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you do not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer, and I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. Unbelievable truths here. Now, in the next couple of Psalms here, the dwelling place is mentioned. I want you to see something precious that I've never seen before in Psalm 94. Psalm 94, talking about the dwelling place and what it means to dwell in it. Psalm 94, and again, I'll start reading at verse 18. when I said, my foot is slipping. How many times have we felt like that in life? I'm slipping, I'm falling backwards. My foot is slipping. Your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. Can a corrupt throne be allied with you? One that brings on misery by its decrees? They band together against the righteous and condemn the innocent to death. But the Lord has become my fortress, my God, the rock in whom I take refuge. He will repay them for their sins and destroy them for their wickedness. The Lord our God will destroy them. A dwelling place, a fortress that calms the anxiety of the human soul. It's not just protection from the physical things. Again, you see it in Psalm 91 there. The angels are never going to allow Christ to come to harm. And yet we know what happened to the Lord Christ. And yet we know where the Lord Christ is today. For God has fulfilled that promise to him. At Calvary's cross, the angels were not allowed to come. And now he is highly exalted. God has a way to take the misery and the trouble of this day, and somehow Moses kind of saw that, and bring the gladness, and bring the satisfaction, and calm the anxiety if we learn to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. And I think that this section of Psalms are tremendously powerful and can be life-changing if you dedicate some time to them. Let's just go. We talked about the arrow that flies by day, some familiar verses in 1 Peter, and then we'll go back and go through the psalm in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter, who I don't know that I picture him as an anxious person in the scriptures, but I guess I could imagine that, knowing a little bit about his personality. He is going to write, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And then finally, one last reading, a familiar verse in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And we could start reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you know the rest of this section here about the armor of God. Verse 16, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, wherewith you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with every kind of prayers. And so with those readings, let's come back to our Psalm 90 and Psalm 91. Just notice a few observations here, and then three lessons from the psalm about this thing called the dwelling place. Psalm 90 starts out with, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The dwelling place is not in the mountains. The dwelling place is not in the earth. The dwelling place is not in the world. For a long time, mankind sought refuge in the high mountains to protect them from the hordes and the nomads that seemed to have difficulty getting at their families in their homes if they were high up in the mountains where they could be defended. Esau's family, Mount Seir, decided to live in Mount Seir for that kind of protection. They dwelt in that mountains. The mountains are majestic and beautiful. That is not our dwelling place. That is not our dwelling place. Before the earth and the world were formed, the earth and the world is not our dwelling place. This world, most of us have left the mountains and come down and tried to mingle with the nightmare of sinful men and sinful women in this world here to try to, through compromise and through blending in as a chameleon would, to somehow see if we could find a dwelling place down here all over Worcester, all over this planet. This is how man tries to dwell and live amongst wickedness and disobedience and corruption and pestilence and plague, and hoping that it somehow doesn't affect them. And this is not our dwelling place. Before the mountains were brought forth, before the earth and the world were formed, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Verse 3 talks about men going back to the dust. And there are many today who suggest that life is temporal, and one day we will all go back to dust, and it'll be all done, and nothing needs to matter anymore. The dust will be our final dwelling place, and death is the final thing, and that is not the dwelling place. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And Psalm 90 is going to suggest that God is the dwelling place. Think about Moses walking through that wilderness. Think about all of those talks he had with those Israelite elders in Egypt. We're going to another land. We're going to a promised land. We're going to a land to dwell. No, God is our dwelling place. Think about that moment when God asked him to build that temple so they could dwell amongst his people. And God came into the presence of his people, and all the people lined up their tents around that tabernacle. And somehow Moses saw beyond that and saw that one day there would not be a barrier and that our dwelling place could be in God and God in us. How did he come to understand that? What did he understand about that? He just simply enjoyed this basic statement that mankind, that you and I must learn to make God the place where we dwell. Challenging piece of book 4 of the Psalms. When he talks about what it looks like to dwell, he's going to mention over and over again the songs of worship and praise. Well, we love that part. We love to listen to the piano go and to sing our songs. We do a marvelous job with that in our lives. And most of Christianity today, serious Christianity, Christianity that is bent on the evangelical side, is concerned about worship and the songs of praise and all of that. And it dominates. If you are dwelling in the Lord, there should be joy in your heart. If you are dwelling in the Lord and the Lord is dwelling with you, there should be a song on your lips. And David wrote these songs to teach the priests how to teach Israel how to have singing and joy. There was even a moment at one of the festivals where the priests were set up. And so the stranger that approached Jerusalem would hear the songs of Zion singing. And it would be a city of singing. No other place on the planet had anything like that. It would be the center for God if he is truly God. And he is truly saved and we are truly his. It should be demonstrated with a song of joy in our hearts. And we'll enjoy that through book 1. Book 4 of the Psalms. But book 4 of the Psalms is also going to tell his people, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. For if we dwell with the Lord, it's not just enough for us to sing of his praises. But it is for us to understand that he has opinions about our lives. And we need to listen to those opinions. And to not harden our hearts and to think that life in dwelling in Christ is all about the singing and the worship and the prayers. But it's about listening to his voice and hearing his word. And that starts to come up in the center of this book over and over again. And so serious seeker of God, the serious seeker of Christ, is going to be challenged with, yes, the gladness, but also the intention to be soft to hearing the commands of the Lord, the laws of the Lord, and to let His precepts govern our lives and to submit in obedience to Him. Or if we're going to dwell in God, God is a person. He's not some kind of experience. He's not some kind of environment. It's not in a restaurant where you go and it creates an atmosphere. What is that called? It's not an ambiance. It's not an ambiance where we just go in and enjoy the ambiance of God. Thank you. No. He's a person. You're dwelling side by side with a person. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. You have been our dwelling place. And so, Psalm 90 challenges us to make Him the dwelling place. Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall rest under the shadow of the Mighty. In verse 9, if you make the Most High your dwelling. And so there is an everlasting dwelling and a challenge to me that I must make it my dwelling. And that dwelling is a source of shelter, a source of refuge, and a source of strength. A source of refuge, a source of shelter, and a source of strength. And it describes the experience of the bird that is flying and the hunter that is seeking to shoot it down. And the arrow that could strike the bird by day, the bird needs its protection. And the pestilence that can come to the bird in the night that could destroy the bird. Perhaps that is an animal that uncovers where the bird is. And then in the noonday, there is the plague or that foe that can come who is bold and doesn't need the night for cover. His strength is able to overcome all obstacles and face that bird and destroy it. And so there is a call by Moses for us to understand that we need a shelter, that we need a refuge, that we need a place to dwell. You know, most of mankind believes that they are the captain of their own ship and they are in charge of their own destiny. And that it's all about what they can do and the basic protections of financial protections, the paper of the U.S. currency and the statement in the bank account is where we find our security. Think about how flimsy that is. Moses here is describing mankind as in a perilous situation where there is a hunter, there is a fowler. He does talk about in Psalm 90 the temperance of man and the grass and the flower, but he is going to move to this other description of mankind where there is a hunter. And Peter himself, who fell prey to Satan's attacks, writes so clearly about that. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Peter was confronted by his satanic majesty in a circumstance where he thought he was being so loyal to Christ. I will lay down my life for you. But he was trying to defend his Savior in his own strength, with his own wisdom, and with his own mind. And he certainly suddenly found himself surrounded by the fire. And there the little maid came up, and there was nothing in the strength of Peter that could somehow help him to be strong and to be bold all of a sudden his flesh took over as the maid asked, "Weren't you from Galilee? Weren't you with him?" Began to deny the Lord, and his satanic majesty was seeking to cripple Peter with anxiety and cripple Peter with guilt and cripple Peter with doubt and ruin his life of service from that point on forever. No books you will write, Peter. No preaching you will do, Peter. Oh no, if I have my way, I am devouring the rest of your... Teach us to number our days. How many days did you have left there, Peter, at that fire where that woman challenged you? Were you thinking about those days? Did you understand those things? Of course, we got to be careful with Peter. We understand so much more than he did right now. But he writes and he says, "Believer, you are in the same situation." Paul will talk about the wiles of the devil, the flaming arrows of the devil. Just as we think we've distanced ourselves, we find, for whatever the reason is, God has allowed him to have a quiver with these arrows. And so, the believer, mankind, must decide and understand that there is a need for shelter. And in Psalm 90, we read, "The Lord is our dwelling place." He is described as our shield and our buckler or our rampart. The Lord is the shield. The shield describes a larger structure. The rampart, the buckler, is a smaller structure that is like a shield that is used usually by the archer or by the one with the spear. It's a smaller thing. But the first is the shield and its ability to quench the arrows that come, to make the arrows that come harmless. The Lord is that shield. The rampart is the description of the wall around the fortress city. And it had to be wide enough. The rampart had to be wide enough so that the defenders of the city could act efficiently and make sure they repelled all that would seek to scale its walls. Ideally, those walls were wide enough for chariots to go back and forth on both sides so that if the enemy were able to breach the walls, they would not be able to survive. It is the picture of the great fortress. And the Lord is that fortress for us. The Lord has provided that rampart for us. And as the fowler, as the fowl, as the bird, we are to seek our refuge in the Lord. We are to make the Lord our dwelling place. And then he describes himself not just as the rampart, but as the buckler. And that buckler was a personal thing. It was something that was fitted just for your arm. It was made for the weight that you could handle. It was something that you could use easily. It was fitted just for you. The Lord has not just provided us with this global protection, but what you personally need. And so as Moses writes these Psalms, I believe he's writing out a personal experience that he's made the Lord his dwelling place, but he yearns for others to come to the same spot, the same place. You can see the writings as Moses talks about the anger of the Lord. He talks about the wrath of the Lord. I think that's what we'll look at next year when we ponder Psalm 90. The anger and the wrath of the Lord. Because you know, Moses encountered that. The Lord had asked him to speak to the rock. And Moses struck the rock. And he was surprised. He was surprised. He was surprised that he could do something that would be so egregious to God. I think a lot of believers, even myself included, don't realize the little things that we can get into. God is gracious, God is love. But that hurt the Lord. I asked you, you didn't honor me in front of my people. You will have your eternal life, Moses. You'll have your glory in heaven, but you will not be able to go into the land. Moses talks a little bit about that. There was a personal side to his relationship with the Lord. The buckler speaks about all that. And I am to make the Lord my dwelling place. And so that's where one of our hymns I asked us to sing, Under His Wings. Under His Wings. Here he says of the bird who's flying around under, verse 4, he will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. You know, leave it to God to do that. If I were going to come over to your house there, Rob, and say, we're going to build a fortress out of feathers. I'm sure your boys would be like, yeah, we love pillow fights. Yeah, right, feathers, right? Build your fortress out of pillows. Watch all the bullets repel that. Yeah, feathers. Just think of something so light and fragile. And yet when you read it here in this text, it brings us a source of calmness, doesn't it? Under his wings. He shall be our shield and buckler. Of course, the young bird flies and stays under the wings of the mother, because if the fowler is going to strike, the mother gives her life so that the young ones can live. Right? This is exactly what the Lord did for us on the cross of Calvary. There is a call, though, here for the bird and us in our flight of life. And what are you going to do this year? Where are you going to go? And what are you going to journey? And what some of the excitement of this year we haven't even understood is going to happen. It's going to be a beautiful, wonderful year with a lot of amazing things. And there'll be some tragedy too, right? And going out for this year. But these psalms are calling us to make the Lord our dwelling place, and to abide under the shadow of his wings. And it speaks of fellowship, doesn't it? The warmth of a relationship with our God. And when you read through this book 4 of the Psalms, it's helpful to picture yourself in that bosom, in that relationship, and see the Lord carefully talk through his feelings what it means to dwell together and make him your dwelling place. I lost my notes. You have to do it on the iPad and you have to sync, and then it comes up. I didn't sync them, so I lost my notes. But the last piece here was, as we dwell with the Lord, he wants to, at the end of the psalm, show us his salvation. Salvation. So there is a mystery. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. The living God of the universe dwells in you. We enjoy that and understand that. Moses goes the other way, though, and says, you have been placed in Christ. You dwell in him. And there is a oneness and there is a communion. And we are to enjoy that like the mother who's brought her young ones under her wings for their protection. And in the fragileness of that picture there, God says, from everlasting to everlasting, I am God. And I am your shield. And I am your buckler. And I am your rampart. And this morning, as we come to a close, what the Spirit of God wants to do to my heart is to convince me more and more of the safety and security I have in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And that should erupt in praise to him. and prayer to him. But it should also drive me to want to please him in every good work and to not harden my heart. For I dwell in him and he dwells in me and we are one. May the Lord help us this year in 2024 to be steadfast and unmovable and abiding in the work of the Lord, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for these moving psalms here, and we do pray that the teachings of Moses would have an impact on our lives in a dramatic way. We ask, O God, that you would teach us what it means to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, to learn how the gladness of the Lord can calm the anxiety that can come to the soul. We might be called to this life of faith and trust you, Lord, and yield to you. We pray for the children downstairs. We thank you for their enthusiasm to memorize the scriptures. We pray, Lord, that some of them at an early age might really grasp what it really means to put you first in their lives, that they would learn to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. You would raise up that generation, Lord, to be a mighty, mighty testimony for you. We pray that you would not let the fowlers wound them with the arrows of this world, but they would learn to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. That, Lord, we as parents might be diligent to teach them the good and the right way. So we thank you, Lord, now for this year coming up. We do pray that you would help us to put you first in everything. And we ask, Lord, if anything good was said this morning, all of us might be careful to give your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the honor and glory in his worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.